Welcome to Book Spectrum. I'm your host, Chris Cordani. This is a program where we like to interview new authors and seasoned ones from various professions all across the spectrum. Many of us want to be entrepreneurs. Seeing the many rewards of either a side hustle or a full-fledged business. However, there are some ups and downs to most entrepreneurial efforts. With me now is a man who has been through them and adapted to become a new kind of leader. A disruptive one. That's my kind of guy. What is that, though? Let's find out. Here's the author of the new book, The Rugged Entrepreneur, What Every Disruptive Business Leader Should Know. Welcome to Book Spectrum, Scott Andrew.
It's great to be here, Chris. Thanks for having me.
You call yourself a serial entrepreneur. That doesn't mean you wake up in the morning and eat Captain Crunch every day. I like that title, though. It means that you've put together quite a bit of efforts. How do you come up with your business ideas?
You know, I grew up in an entrepreneurial household, and I describe my father in the book as really my first example of a rugged entrepreneur. So it was something I grew used to from an early age on, owning one's own business, being one's own boss, being more personally responsible for what's going to happen in their life. So when I went to college, I already knew my ambition was to own my own business, and started my first illegitimate business while I was in college at NC State University. I was a bootlegger. The limitations have expired, if you will, so I can now talk about some of those past things and not be overly concerned about it. But my first legitimate business was also while at NC State, starting a college area newspaper called College Life. But I worked in banking after graduating from NC State in mergers and acquisitions with Nations Bank, now Bank of America, for about 4 years. And I really did that intentionally just to get a high-level view of financing and merger and acquisition business deals, and to get the exposure of a broad group of industries and businesses the bank experience would give me. And left that to jump into my second legitimate business pursuit, but it was always my intention.
A bootlegger at college. Some, like you said, might call it an illegitimate business. Others, if you're in college, might call you a hero.
Well, that was back in the day where the drinking age was changing from 18 to 19 and then 19 to 21. So it was a very unique time in history, and the aspects of social media and the kind of things that expose everything about everybody's life didn't exist. So you could operate in secrecy probably a lot more easy back then. But yeah, we did a bunch of bootlegging to 3 or 4 different college campuses during those times.
That happened in New York, too. The drinking age was moved up to 19 for a little while, and then some of those kids turned 19, and they found themselves learning that drinking age turned to 21 a little bit later on. That wasn't fun for people that age. It's like having the rug pulled out of you a few times.
Made for a perfect environment for a rugged entrepreneur bootlegger at the time.
You said you come from an entrepreneurial family, Scott. A lot of young people learn the principles. I'm not talking about the nuts and bolts or anything else, those regular lessons. I'm talking about the principles of actually doing business, the handshaking, the rules of thumb or sort of an honor system you might have learned from your parents. What kind of these principles might you have learned from your dad that you still bring into your business work today?
Great question, and absolutely. I talk about it in the book how a lot of what people learn can be early on in life. Fervent work ethic is the first foundational element of a rugged entrepreneur, and it sounds like it just makes easy sense, but it's a deep concept that has to have a lot of description. In today's world, we a lot of times hear young people being taught, find what you love and you'll never really work, and that's kind of baloney. They really ought to be taught, learn to love and be proud of the productivity of having a fervent work ethic with the results you create or the problems you solve, because no matter what business you own, there'll be plenty of work one has to do that they won't enjoy and they certainly won't love, but they can learn how to love, enjoy, and be proud of the product and the results and the problem-solving skills that are developed. But getting to your direct question with parents, you know, a fervent work ethic was something I learned about my dad visiting the farm on which he grew up. My grandmother stayed at that farm well into her late 80s, and learning about the kind of work people had to do coming out of the Depression era on a farm and the minimal existence it was, and then to learn about my dad's story of kind of rising up out of that farm existence through sports and academics. But I also got to see a lot of those basic skills you're talking about, because there's hundreds of skills a rugged entrepreneur has to develop and learn, some customized to him or herself, some not. But the skills like look people in the eye when you shake their hand, be upfront and forthright when dealing with problems that you don't want to fester or linger or to grow from a small fire to a big fire. So yeah, having been raised in an entrepreneurial family is a big advantage, because you learn so many. I can remember when I was about 7, learning to drive a forklift with my dad. He owned a distribution company, and he would go in on weekends to unload rail cars when they didn't have a weekend staff, but he was the owner, and he would go in to unload the rail cars so products would be in inventory on hand for Monday delivery. And he would take me with him, and that's when I learned to drive a forklift.
Oh, there you go. A rugged forklift driving entrepreneur. Can anybody become a rugged entrepreneur, or is it something you have to be born with?
Definitely not born with, anybody. It really, entrepreneurialism doesn't have any type of discrimination, if you will. It's blind. It doesn't see race or age or sex or religion or whether you're born to affluence or poverty. Anybody can become a rugged entrepreneur if they're willing to embrace especially the foundational elements that it will take to succeed.
With me is Scott Andrew on Book Spectrum. I'm Chris Cordani, your host. Scott's book is The Rugged Entrepreneur, What Every Disruptive Business Leader Should Know. What do you mean by, in this title, disruptive business leader?
Disruptive is something that has to be intentionally developed inside of a rugged entrepreneur. And it's a positive force. By disruption, meaning first you've got to learn how to disrupt yourself. You got to be humble enough with a healthy enough pride to be teachable and coachable so that you can learn a broader view of your industry, your products, your people, your competition, and the world around you that is always going to be chaotic. And in today's digital age, which is really not just today, it's the digital age has been unfolding for a good 20 years, it's made business and business change so much faster. There's so much more access to information and resources, and things move faster in the digital age. So a business owner has always got to be continuously bettering him or herself at disrupting themselves personally as a leader, and at developing disruptive people or teams inside their business to then be able to see around the corners in a way collectively so as to disrupt an industry in which they operate in by bringing better value, better service, or even a new product dynamic or distribution dynamic or marketing and media dynamic to the table.
Disruptive in this case would mean a lot of things, including innovative.
Exactly.
Scott, something that has become essential to entrepreneurial types is the search for multiple streams of income. You're a serial entrepreneur, so you know that. How does a good, rugged entrepreneur figure out where to allocate most of his or her resources when it comes down to running several business ideas? And I mean, putting more effort into another place or strengthening something that's weak or even having to cut the cord if they have to.
Yes. It gets back to another aspect of being humble, but having a healthy pride. It doesn't seem like those two things go together that well, but you've got to be humble enough to be coachable, to be teachable, whether it's when you read a book, and it's a moment where you can be very naked because you're not having to put yourself out in front of any individual. You're exposing yourself in your own mind to that author and the wisdom they've put in that book. So it's a great way to disrupt oneself. But you've got to be able to be humble so that you can empower individuals. You've got to embrace the fact that you're going to make mistakes. You got to be willing to apologize for them. And if you learn to then empower individuals, I've seen so many business owners over the years, entrepreneurs, not become what I would call a rugged because they didn't learn how to empower other people well. And therefore, their abilities we're generally limited to focusing on only one business at a time. Chris, it's a skill in the book. I really identified a difference between rugged millionaires and rugged billionaires. Billionaires generally all have the ability to empower people, teams of people, and entire organizations in a way where those people go and make mistakes and will generally do two or three times as much to make up for that mistake and ultimately create a better result than if the mistake had not been made. And the bigger business owners learn how to empower others so that they can do what you just spoke of, you know, focus on new brands, new products, new industries, new business models, and own multiple businesses and be able to lead those organizations as an individual.
Scott Andrew, being a rugged entrepreneur, you decided that it's time to start teaching others how to become rugged entrepreneurs. You do this in the book, but you also teach online, and I believe at a program at East Tennessee State University as well.
Yes, we have, my wife Daphne and I own three holding companies. One of those is specifically designed retail service systems to disrupt industries that, where a model can be franchised. And we decided about 15 years ago, we were walking our dogs, and we had already owned probably two dozen or more different companies, from rodeo production to beverage wholesale. And we had decided that it was a lot more gratifying to us to own businesses where we could actually empower and teach free enterprise and business ownership and personal responsibility to business owners. And that was about the time we were creating the term rugged entrepreneur and classifying different groups of entrepreneurship. But in that moment, in that decision to focus our business interests on empowering and teaching entrepreneurialism, we made our move with an emphasis on franchising. Retail Service Systems was designed to disrupt the franchise industry, which in general, it has a reputation for creating caustic relationships between franchisor and franchisees. And we saw that as a community. We called it a community gap, wherein we believed in certain industries where the franchise model had a very negative community gap factor, we could come in and reverse that dynamic and actually make the community of franchisees the organization's best resource, its best asset for developing products and services and methodologies and advertising. And in the franchising world, there's still a lot of good growth by really locked and loaded franchises like a Chick-fil-A or a McDonald's. But there's hundreds of industries that need to be more adaptable. They need to change. They need to disrupt themselves. They need to grow fast and change fast. And for those industries and those models, the locked and don't change it model of franchising doesn't work well for them to grow through economic changes and market condition changes. So we saw that, and that's we started Box Drop in the home furnishing industry. It just had a horrible franchise reputation for that word community. And at the end of 2013, we had 17 locations. Today, we have a little over 500, and it's been one of the fastest growing companies in America on the Inc. 5000 list for four straight years.
I want to get to Box Drop in a little bit, but you brought something rather interesting up. You were in the rodeo business.
Yeah.
You got to be rugged for that, I suppose, huh?
Well, I did ride a bull in an event. I only did that once, and I wouldn't recommend it, nor would I do it again, but I had run a sales incentive. I owned a beverage wholesalership and had run a sales incentive tied to a rodeo that we were doing on a weekend event with our rodeo production company, and I had made a promise if a certain goal was hit, I would ride a bull, and the goal was hit, so I had to live up to the promise. But that rodeo production company, it probably would have been a better choice for Daphne and I to buy a ranch, because we lost enough money to have bought a ranch, but don't have the ranch to show for it. So it was a great business. It was a little ahead of its time, but it was one of the examples of having to close a business down and take the hard knocks of lessons that didn't work out so well.
Well, there you go. It looked like fun, but if you have too much of an emotional attachment to a kind of business, you won't be able to shut it down, and then it kind of snowballs into something worse.
Yeah, it's another way, a reason you learn to be humble, because if your ego is a little too strong, your pride of not wanting something you've done to be seen as a failure will make you hang on too long as well.
I'm Chris Cordani, the host of Book Spectrum here. That's what you're listening to. My guest is Scott Andrew. He is the Rugged Entrepreneur. So he wrote a book, The Rugged Entrepreneur, What Every Disruptive Business Leader Should Know. I produce a few shows, as many of my listeners might remember. One of them is a business show. It's in New York. The host is a multimillionaire money manager who says constantly, now just keep in mind, he started his business from $5,000 in a card table to being a multimillionaire. He says, if I'm the smartest person in the room, I don't want to be there for too long. This seems to be a good piece of advice for a good rugged entrepreneur. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, it fits into that humble and healthy, humble nature with a healthy pride. And I suggest people build what I call mastermind teams or advisory boards. And it's always better to sit at a table or in a room where you're surrounded by people way smarter, way better than you. It's kind of like sports. If you decide you're going to play basketball with a bunch of people far inferior to where you are now, you won't elevate your game. If you choose to play with a group of people who are much better than you are, you'll be forced to elevate your game. And forced, you can do that in business the same as it's done in sports. And if you make that a habit, you will always be able to find groups where you are the lesser in the room or at the table, and thus force yourself to grow your strengths to rise up to be an equivalent to those levels. So I think it's an absolute must for becoming a rugged entrepreneur.
I brought that up because in your book, you discuss how you've actually done this. You make it a point to have conversations with people like Oliver North, Colonel Oliver North, and multi-billionaire Shahid Khan, as many of you know, the guy who owns Flexengate and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who have you met, and what are some of the interesting things you may have learned from them?
Well, going directly to Mr. Khan, just an incredible story. He was an engineer from the University of Illinois, and he actually went to work for a company he interned with that he ultimately bought as he developed the continuous bumper. And he bought it because his company, Flexengate, needed it for manufacturing purposes, but that's the company, Flexengate, that made him a billionaire the first time. He bought the Jaguars in 2012 for a little over $700 million, and 5 years later, Forbes estimated the team had just over a $2 billion value. So he's built a billion-dollar net worth in two different business ventures, which is quite amazing. When you study the difference between a million and a billion, it's quite significant. But I've had a chance to spend time with Steve Forbes, wrote a great book about how capitalism would save America. And obviously he's the president and runs the Forbes media company now. But from military leaders to business leaders, I've had the chance over the last 30 years to study hundreds of great business owners. Scott Niswonger here in Eastern Tennessee, he's the founder of Land Air Freight. He was a private pilot for Magnavox when he graduated from Purdue years and years ago. And they were actually selling televisions faster than they could manufacture them at the time out of a plant in Greenville, Tennessee. And he was their private pilot. And they had this problem he heard them discussing. And he got an idea to take the seats out of a twin Piper Cub airplane, and he could fly to different parts manufacturers around the country. And with the seats out, he could haul about 2,000 pounds worth of parts and fly them back to the plant so they could make TVs faster. And from doing that successful idea as an employee, he created the idea for Land Air Freight, a company he founded that has since made him a billionaire. But most studies show that 75 to 80% of millionaires and billionaire entrepreneurs are self-made. So their stories are incredible. Just like the gentleman you mentioned that hosts the show there in New York, he self-made. They start with very little and learn how to be frugal and be dynamic with their resources and grow a business to something very significant. And the stories, I've literally never heard one, Chris, that I thought was boring or disappointing. Their stories are always amazing.
Scott Andrew, some entrepreneurs tout a work-life balance while others eschew the idea. In the book, Rugged Entrepreneur, you're more on the side of work-life balance. Family's important to you. You also have designed a couple of your franchises, and this is where I want to get back to Box Drop Mattress. As a great startup for people who have a family or are trying to make a shift or do something and start with a modest business, the idea is it has low franchise costs and flexible work hours. How did you make this happen with such an idea, and how does this franchise allow success and a balance, as well as others, between family and business life?
Well, the question of balance is a challenging one. And I don't know that there is an exact scientific formula for it. It's why one of the foundational elements in the book for a rugged entrepreneur is mental toughness. Because the world's always going to come at you. There's so much more negative news, and it's so much quicker in the world in general for a negative attitude to be at the forefront of things than a positive attitude, that as an entrepreneur, you're going to be challenged. A part of your ambition is to succeed at a high level financially. And without trying to, a lot of times that casts what others perceive to be not such a positive light on themselves, even though that was never your intention. So an entrepreneur can often come a little bit under assault, whether it's through social media, from direct family members, from competition, and from any number of sources. So a rugged entrepreneur's got to learn to be mentally tough enough to handle that and not let it affect or sway them in their decisions to move things forward. So in making a business flexible and fitting balance, first the entrepreneur has to decide, where is their balance a place that makes them happy? And do you have children? Do you not have children? Are you married or are you single? How do you work well together? How do you decide goals and ambitions? And literally the drivers in your life that are, what do I want? What do we want? And for Daphne and I, we a long time ago decided that balance was in knowing at the end of the day, we enjoyed and felt proud of what we did. And it wasn't a certain number of hours. It wasn't a certain number of breaks. We live together and work our business. We've got a marital dynamic we call the twofer, which is, when a married couple can work in business together well, they 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2, it equals 11, which is 5 times greater than 2. And we learned how to incorporate our kids into that same type of picture. And largely it was a big communication program wherein you communicate enough about what you want to accomplish and what the rewards are going to be from it, to where it becomes a part of the fabric of your life. And then balance becomes a lot easier because you're not always trying to figure out some scientific formula for that word balance.
Scott Andrew, the author of The Rugged Entrepreneur, is with me on Book Spectrum. Scott, we're a year into 15 days to flatten the curve. COVID-19 government shutdowns have destroyed businesses and livelihoods. This is where this entrepreneurial fortitude and ruggedness you write about comes into play, I suppose. How was your ruggedness tested during those shutdowns and destructive small business environment?
It is absolutely an example of where being a rugged is going to make a dynamic impact on an entrepreneur's ability to see things and to pivot, to change, it may be as dramatic as having to close all the way to totally revamping the operational side of one's business and adding different revenue streams, different products, different marketing methodologies to the business. The case of Box Drop last March, because we're a brick and mortar retail centric business model, and it's an industry, the brick and mortar segment of that industry last year was down about 20% overall. Box Drop was up 52%. It was because our leadership team back in March, as we saw COVID coming, was able to quickly identify the potential worst-case scenarios and then identify what would be necessary to adapt, whether it be an appointment-only strategy with disinfection protocols in between appointments, to how you would market and to the consumer world your ability to adapt to that. And then also look at things like state, local and county, city, state, federal rules and regulations that were constantly changing as to what and who was essential, as to what protocols needed to be done. And we stayed on top of those things. We did go 3 months, March, April, and May, where we did not open a single box drop location because supply chains were so broken. But we still opened 80 new locations last year in total, and revenue grew 52%. But it was a perfect example of how the leadership in an organization, flowing all the way down and through and with the business owners inside that organization, being rugged, had the ability to look around the corner and adjust things to actually create success and gain market share in the midst of chaos. And anytime, Chris, there's chaos in an industry, and certainly an event like COVID created a lot of it, anytime there's chaos, there is opportunities, but you got to learn, instead of panicking about the chaos, how to look through that and find opportunities.
The words, "I have a cunning plan," should be in your lexicon. Scott, I know that people are listening and saying, I'd like to be a rugged entrepreneur. I would like to be able to recover as the economy recovers, or I need to make some shifts and changes right now. But part of this rugged entrepreneurship means maybe a slight adjustment in one's personality or ability to handle adversity. So let's say somebody's listening to this and wanted to call you up. Now, I'm pretty sure they're going to get the book, but if they could call you up and ask you this question, what is one thing I need to do, maybe to change my approach or personality a little bit to become a more rugged entrepreneur and help recover what I'm doing after this pandemic has been kind of devastating?
The most powerful thing, and it's the last of those fundamental elements that I go into detail in the book, but if you were saying what one most powerful thing can an individual entrepreneur want to be entrepreneur understand and develop, it would be faith. And in the book, I address faith from the aspect of the four major religions, which is billions of people around the world, because their aspects of faith or definitions of faith are very similar, but they are different. But then I also go into just a non-spiritual concept of faith, because it's a power that people exercise every day, whether they know it or not. In other words, if you went to sleep tonight and you knew that if you fell asleep, you were going to stop breathing and thus die, you wouldn't be able to go to sleep. But you go to sleep just fine tonight without thinking about whether you will or will not breathe, because you take it on faith that you will breathe. Your eye is the smallest organ in the body, but it has the most working parts, a little over 2 million parts. It's the fastest moving muscle organ in the body. But if any one of those 2 million parts stops working properly, it will affect your eyesight all the way up to possibly even going blind. Knowing that, if you didn't have faith that your eye was going to work right today, it would drive you crazy. You'd go to the doctor all the time. But you taking on faith that your eye is going to work today. Or once you tie your shoestrings, you don't constantly look down to see if they're untied. You just take it, you have a faith. And what I'm saying there is everybody exercises a faith switch on a daily basis in their life. Once you realize that and you realize how powerful of a force it is, there are things you can do to intentionally develop faith as a skill set and grow that strength and learn how to turn that switch on and off more often, both through yourself and through people in your organizations. Steve Jobs talked about it, saying, you can't sit here today and look into the future and know exactly how the dots will connect. But you can have faith that in the future, when you look back, those dots will have connected. And he said that was a skill and a power that entrepreneurs had to have to make it in business.
Scott Andrew, how can some of our listeners catch up with you and learn more about what you do?
The easiest way to take a look into this world of rugged entrepreneurialism is just to go to www.ruggedentrepreneur.com, and you can download a free chapter of the book. You can read about the reviews. You can sign up for Rugged Bits, which will be a monthly electronic newsletter. I know that's an archaic word in our age, but bits and nuggets from different rugged entrepreneurs, just a good reinforcement of some of the skills and habits and things and stories of them successfully being implemented that help a rugged entrepreneur stay inspired.
The book, The Rugged Entrepreneur, What Every Disruptive Business Leader Should Know. Thank you once again for being with us on Book Spectrum, Scott Andrew.
Thank you for having me, Chris. It's been a blast.
You can find the book on Amazon, Goodreads, and other digital outlets. You can also find links to the book and where you can buy it on our website, bookspectrum.com. I'm Chris Cordani. Thank you again for listening to Book Spectrum.